Hey, how you doing?
Hey, I am doing great, actually. It has actually been a regular weekend, like what normal people do. Like I did yard work, and I did housework, and I even, I took a couple of days off as well, and so we went up to Seattle to see my son compete in a track meet, and then got to spend the couple of days with my buddy John and his wife Jess, and that was fantastic. So, like, it's been a nice long weekend, and it's been a productive and fun one, so I'm just feeling great.
Nice. Those are the best weekends.
Yeah, and I haven't really had a lot of these very much, so this is wonderful.
How cool.
Yeah, how are you?
I am doing absolutely great for the silliest possible reason.
The new Star Wars came out.
No, definitely sillier.
Okay.
I just discovered a couple of bands that do heavy rock versions of Disney songs. And it is just delightful.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
It's so fun. Nothing beats hearing Let It Go in a heavy version. It's just a riot to me. So anyway, that is absolutely delighting me. And it's all of the songs that you're like, yeah, that song would make it. Like the, remember the Mulan, I'll Make a Man Out of You? Like that song with, but like a heavy version of it. Very fun, very funny, all at the same time.
That sounds like a really fun playlist.
Yes.
Or at least a few songs at a time.
Yes, that's it exactly. I don't know that I want to spend 2 hours listening to that, but a couple of songs like that are just fun.
Oh my gosh, that is great. Well, hey, I have to welcome you to this, our 100th episode.
Yes, I can't believe it. I thought about singing happy birthday to us, but that didn't quite work, so I didn't. But it feels a little bit like that.
I know. It is wild to me that this is 100 episodes in, and I feel like we just got started. I really don't feel like we've done this 100 times.
Yeah, we stink at it, don't we?
I know. Our audience is like, yeah, no, you don't sound like you started 100 episodes ago. But I prepped you in advance and said, hey, on this show, we really care about spiritual formation through the lens of friendship. And that is why we set out to do this show. And that's what we've been doing, we hope. And so I want to know, and I want to just explore together, how have we been formed as a result of actually doing this show together?
Yeah, I think that's a fun way to look back. And I'll be honest, so I have a list of answers to this, and I think you do as well. But one of my answers actually is about what didn't make it into the show the way that we expected it to.
Oh.
When we first started, we talked about doing several different topics kind of consistently. Family, kind of things that would fall under the general category of thinking Christianly, a couple different things. And the longer we have done this, the more we have focused in on sort of this area that I'm calling thinking Christianly, almost exclusively. Mm. And I think that speaks to either us realizing a priority that we have or realizing what we like talking about.
Mm. Yeah.
But what we want to talk about is what it means to think Christianly.
Yeah.
And I find that fascinating.
Yeah, I think that sums it up well. But it's funny that even when you talk about something else like family, or I think we did an episode a while back on coming to terms with midlife, or you know, talking about leadership anxiety, or all various topics that we've done, it's always like, how do I engage my family or engage leadership or whatever in a way that honors Christ or in a way that we can grow and mature through this. Like, it's always got that flavor to it.
Yeah, 100%. Even I was listening back to a little bit of the episode we did on the West Wing. And even though I don't know that we said it explicitly, but even the way that we think about consuming media and the way we want to talk about that has to do with thinking Christianly.
Sure.
So much so that it carries into other areas of my life, right? Like I had a conversation with my daughter this week. It's our third significant conversation about Taylor Swift. And my stance, as it has been in the past, is I'm not going to tell you what to listen to, and I'm not going to tell you what not to listen to, but I am very interested in having a conversation in which you talk through how you think you should make that decision. And that I'll talk to you about.
Yeah, and it's fascinating because I think when I hear the phrase thinking Christianly, it almost conjures up for me some of the things that we don't want to support, this very conservative, closed-minded, like, oh, that's of the devil. You can't do that. You can't, you know, we have to think Christianly, you know, kind of thing, which is not at all what I think you intend. I think thoughtful engagement through the lens of scripture and wisdom and church tradition and all of these things that would help us to make a God-honoring choice is, I think, what you mean by think Christianly.
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, again, I think a big chunk of this may come from our conversation about Miroslav Volf's book, Exclusion and Embrace, but I more and more have come to think that thinking Christianly must involve thinking humbly.
Yeah.
And I don't know that 100 episodes ago, I could articulate that quite that way.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny you mentioned Miroslav Volf, though, because that's on my list of moments in this podcast that have been formative for me. And I remember you saying years and years and years ago that the very first book we ever read together was Dietrich Bonhoeffer's Cost of Discipleship. And I enjoyed that, and it was a great book. You enjoyed it, but for you, I remember you saying that was a paradigm shift. That was a monumental book for you because it changed a lot of the ways that you saw the world, and it gave you a grid that you could use for a lot of different things. And that's how I feel about having gone through Miroslav Volf's Exclusion and Embrace. And we said it after we were done with that series offline, and I'll say it again. That might be the single most meaningful thing that we have done on this podcast.
100%.
And I mean that personally, as well as what I think the audience stands to get from it. But for me personally, that book gave me the paradigm shift of we follow a crucified Messiah, and everything that we do needs to be done through that lens. That changes how I see power. That changes how I see eschatology. That changes how I respond to the quote other. Everything flows from the idea that we follow a crucified Messiah. And that book just gave me that paradigm shift, and it was so powerful.
Yeah. For me, the paradigm that it offered that has been really transformational for me. And I refer back to it in a variety of different contexts. Even when I'm talking with associate pastors about understanding their lead pastor, is this idea that he had of double vision. How do you see yourself and how do you see me? I think that's my favorite thing. And the things that are genuinely formative for me, I think, are simple, memorable ways to hold on to profound ideas. And he captures empathy in a conversation in two simple questions and then gives you this metaphor of double vision in order to hold on to it. It's phenomenal teaching. Just it's phenomenal, like pedagogy.
Yeah.
Because it's so memorable. And I think about it all the time. Like, I pause regularly to ask, how are you seeing yourself right now when I'm talking to somebody? I pause regularly to think, okay, how are you going to be seeing me when I speak? That idea is absolutely transformative.
You know, it strikes me that consistent fans of the show who listen pretty much every week are not going to be surprised by anything we say here. That what has been formative for us is honestly what comes out of our mouth more often than not. And I think you've referenced this double vision quite a bit because it's been so formative for you. And I will say that that same phenomenon illustrates one of the things that's been so formative for me on this podcast or by doing this podcast. And that is this concept of being overdoing. Yeah. I don't know that we've explicitly made that a focus, but it is a theme that runs throughout our conversations. And it is such a formative theme for me. Every single time we hit on that topic, it drives that desire deeper within me. And I just feel it at the core of my being that I want to be somebody that is committed to being overdoing. And I'm not there yet. Like, anybody that looks at my life and goes, yeah, well, that's not what I see every day. Well, no, I'm in process. But that's why I love coming back to these conversations, is every single time we come back to that concept of being overdoing, I'm like, yes, that is what I want. Let me pause more. Let me strip away some of my activities so that I can be more and focus on what the formation process and what Christ is wanting to do in me.
Yeah, what's interesting to me about that, as I'm listening to you, you used the words want and desire five different times.
Thank you for counting.
It's just interesting to me. I think the words we use really speak to where we're at. And when we begin to repeat words, I think it says something. And in this case, I think what you're saying is that reflection on this idea has been shaping your desires.
Yes.
It's shaping what you want. And that is interesting to me because I think when we think of spiritual formation, it's so easy to think about what we're thinking, but real deep spiritual formation often has to do with what we're wanting. And this is a great example of that.
Yeah.
You want something different because you're being formed differently.
Right. And it's this long, slow process, which we often talk about formation in those terms. You know, it's funny. What comes to mind actually is when you listen to the Mars Hill podcast and they talk about Christianity Today's commitment to long-form journalism. I feel like our conversations are a commitment to long-form formation.
Absolutely.
Which was fascinating. I like looked back at a number of our episodes in preparation for this conversation, and I went, okay, yeah, that conversation was fine. Oh, that episode was fine. That was fun. I couldn't really point to any one episode and go, that episode was formative for me. And yet, I am being formed. And I feel like it's because of this long form formation that we've been practicing together for 20 plus years and that I've just always found so valuable.
Yeah, I actually have this on my list as well. On my list, I use the image of water dripping on a stone. You know, the idea is that if water drips on a stone in the exact same place for a really, really long time, it actually starts to shape the stone.
Yeah.
And that's incredible that drips of water can shape a stone. But I think conversations work that way. And I also looked back and thought, yeah, it's not that there are specific moments, even what I was saying about exclusion and embrace had the potency that it had because of the conversations that led up to it and because of the conversations that it led to. It's this cumulative effect that allows formation to happen, not a life-changing conversation, but a practice of ongoing, intentional, deep, challenging, thoughtful, reflective conversations that over time make me different. And I often feel like what I realize is I realize that a concept has been snowballing in our conversations. And this happened just a few weeks ago. When we finished an episode, my reflection on it was, that was really, really good, but we went somewhere we've been going a lot lately, and we need to make sure we don't overemphasize that.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happens is it snowballs until this moment where we're like, oh, okay, now this is like a not just a thing we're thinking about. This is now a major sort of element of the way I think.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting to me to kind of trace through that sort of slow drip, drip, drip process.
Yeah. And it's that slow process that eventually changes the way we think. That is exactly why we set out to do our Summer in the Psalms series last year. And it's exactly why we've committed to doing that this year. We want the Psalms to have that effect on us. So this is on my list. I think it's on yours as well. Just doing the Summer in the Psalms together. And for me, I don't know that I could say 100 episodes in, having done one go-round of Summer in the Psalms, that I have, quote, been formed by the Psalms. I don't feel like enough drops of water have hit my soul from the Psalms to say that. But that's what I want. And I look at all of the people for whom that actually has been true, right? This was true of Jesus. He was steeped in the Psalms. The New Testament writers were all steeped in the Psalms. Some of my spiritual heroes, like Eugene Peterson, were steeped in the Psalms. I want to engage that consistently so that it can work its magic on me.
Yeah, I have this a very similar thought written down. I wrote down, I have a lot more to learn from the Psalms.
Exactly.
That's my formative thought about the Psalms is that, you know, and again, I think maybe this comes back to desire. My desires have been formed in ways that make me realize I want more and am willing to do what it takes to get more of whatever that is, this sort of deeply, widely orbed, fully integrated heart, mind, and soul approach to encountering God that the Psalms gives us. That's just beautiful and deeply disturbing and simple and nuanced. And I totally get it sometimes, and I do not understand other times. And all of it. And I want to drink it in.
Yes. And now is as good a time as any to remind our audience that we are about to jump into the Summer in the Psalms series. That is coming up very, very soon. And as you know by now, that is going to run from Memorial Day to Labor Day. And we've got a whole reading schedule that you can find in the show notes. We'd encourage you to dive into the Psalms along with us, and we will be bringing elements of that week's reading plan into our episode every week, and we'd love to think some of these thoughts along with you and be formed by the Psalms together.
Exactly. You know, sometimes the Psalms for that week will inspire a whole conversation. Sometimes they will just be a thought tagged on to the end of the conversation. And even that, actually, because you said something very much like that the other day when you were introducing our upcoming Psalm series. And that struck me as a something that's actually been very formative for me as well. Every week we have a major topic and we have kind of secondary thoughts. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we have talked about offline a lot that has been really interesting to me is not every thought deserves a full episode.
Yeah.
You know, frequently when we're talking about possible topics, we will say that phrase, I'm not sure if this deserves a full episode. I'm not. And the simple fact that we have come to a point where we have decided there are some great and really deeply meaningful and worthwhile things to talk about for 45 minutes. And there are other things that do not need to be kicked around for 45 minutes. It's just not necessary. It's not helpful. Sometimes it's not consistent with who we want to be or who we want to become. Sometimes we already know where we're at. We've already become who we need to become on that topic. And so there's not a lot to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, there's just a host of reasons, but it's okay to say, I don't think that needs that much conversation.
Yeah, I had never thought of that being a formative piece of this, but that is super fun to think about.
What about for you? What else is on your list?
Yeah, so as I thought about this episode and what I might, and reflected on 100 episodes in, you know, a buddy of mine said when we first started this podcast, he said, do it for a while and then check in with one another and see if this is really what you want to continue doing. Is this in the way of your friendship or is this somehow adding to your friendship or whatever? And I appreciated that wisdom to say, is this beneficial or is this just a sideshow? And I'm really happy to say, and we've said offline, this has been a benefit to our friendship and a benefit to our spiritual lives. And I think the way that it has been a benefit to my own spiritual life, there's a level of accountability in what we're doing. There's an audience that is listening. You know, when it was just you and me talking on the phone, we could just say or do or think whatever we wanted. Now, I feel like there is an accountability to the audience that is built into these conversations that makes me say, okay, I don't want to just talk about spiritual formation. I need to intentionally practice spiritual formation so that I actually have something worth saying. And I appreciate that level of accountability. I think I have been more faithful to engaging spiritual practices as a result of doing this show.
I think that's a great point, particularly some of our episodes that have been digging specifically into chapters of the Bible often get me excited about digging into scripture in a different way, spending weeks reading the same one chapter over and over and over again, or spending months reading books about a particular book of the Bible, like our upcoming Revelation series that we're doing this fall. I think what it has done for me, particularly in the area of Bible, and this is incredibly helpful to me, it has helped me focus. My brain can just go all over the place. And having the accountability of deadlines, I know we're talking about this at this time, has helped me really focus in on specific things I want to think about or grow in. And I know I got to be ready for a conversation because it's coming. And so I better listen to what I need to listen to and read what I need to read and all those kinds of things. And I have been just deeply appreciative of the way that it has helped me stay focused a little bit, not excessively focused, not rigidly focused, but it just, I feel like it just gently keeps me on a track.
Yes. I even felt that way last year with our Summer in the Psalms. Like it is really easy to get off track with a reading plan. And the constant recording schedule required, dude, you at least got to catch up by recording day because we're going to talk about these Psalms. That was so, so helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It forced the Psalms to be more rhythmic in my life, which I absolutely loved.
Yes. And, you know, you mentioned this upcoming study that we're doing in Revelation, and that is currently forming me because though we're not releasing these episodes until the fall, we are reading one book after another and recording episodes as we go. And so we're in the process of being formed by the book of Revelation. And I will say that the same concept of the crucified Messiah that we got from Miroslav Volf's book and the centrality of the crucified Lamb in Revelation have been this powerful pairing for me. I see the centrality of the crucified Christ in my faith and honestly in my worship. And that is amazing. I never had that imagery. I never had that as a central motif, if you will, of how I conceive of God. And now I do. And I'm so appreciative both to Volf and the book of Revelation. I can't believe I'm appreciative of anything about the book of Revelation, but I am. and it's helping me worship in a brand new way. And it's so rich.
Yeah, 100%. I am startled by how often on a Sunday morning we are singing something from the book of Revelation and I hadn't caught it before. I mean, it just happens all the time.
Right.
Because the book of Revelation has been deeply influential in our church worship, as well it should. And I am deeply transported to the throne room of God in a way that helps me then be mindful of the throne room of God throughout the rest of my life. It's been very interesting and really exciting to dig into that. I've really enjoyed that.
Yeah, no doubt. What else is on your list?
You know, one thing that has been really interesting to me, we talk a lot about what makes a good conversation. And I think I have come to believe, in part because of our conversations, that a good conversation has to do with asking good questions that lead to aha moments.
Yeah.
And we really try to cultivate conversations between the two of us that use good questions to come to those aha moments. And that has been really formative for me. That helps me think about what is a good conversation? How do I define good in this situation?
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. And to me, this is something that I think even beyond the podcast, just in our conversations over the years of our friendship, I have learned how to have these conversations. And I guess what I mean by that is to engage thoughtfully, to disagree with love and appreciation and respect and honor, and to wrestle together into a really good, healthy answer. That give and take process is something that I am deeply grateful to have received through our friendship, because I think I've mentioned on the podcast before that our pastor does something unconventional. He has a team of people that do what he calls sermon prep. And it's like all of the pastors plus a few people from the congregation, they sit down together, and for an hour and a half on Tuesday mornings, we dissect the passage and how would you apply this and how would you communicate it? And is there a way you could illustrate this? And all of these great questions. But even beyond the questions, it's the good dialogue. And it was amazing to me when I showed up for the first day of sermon prep team, how familiar it felt. This is exactly what we have been doing forever. And I was grateful for the skill set that these conversations have built in me, that I could walk into that conversation and go, oh, I know how this works.
Yeah. I feel that way a lot of times when I'm in coaching sessions. My fundamental reference point for all of how to be a coach is generally our conversations. Many of the ones we've had online, many of the ones we've had offline that are a, hey, I'm in this weird situation. I need to talk this out. And it all feeds into each other. But I don't know that I knew when I was in college and we first met, I don't know that I knew that having a conversation was a learned skill.
Yeah, I don't know that I did either. In fact, I don't know that I could have articulated that until now. Like this conversation.
I don't know that I would have
said
that. Yeah. I don't know that I would have said that until I was listening to you just a minute ago. And again, that's the aha moment that I was talking about a second ago. It's like,
right.
Oh, yes. Here's the give and take as we're adding pieces to the puzzle. Just like when you're building a puzzle and you're like, oh, that's what this is a puzzle picture of.
Yeah.
It really does feel that way in our conversations a lot of times. Oh, we're saying that this thing that we've always assumed is just a thing people do is really a skill you have to learn. Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I think the piece that we're still trying to figure out is how to expand those conversations. Mm. Podcasting is a really hard medium for engaging an audience. I think most people, when they listen to podcasts, they just listen and thank you and they move on, or they listen to the next podcast or whatever. Or they get out of the car and now they're shuffling kids around and, you know, they're off to the races. So engaging the audience and expanding that conversation, I think has been our biggest challenge to date. And I would love to grow in that area. But I think one of the things that I think we've landed on is inviting our audience to use these episodes as springboards for engaging with other people. And we have no way of knowing if people actually do that, but I really value that. And I really hope that that is a way that our podcast could be used.
Yeah, absolutely. Every once in a while, we'll hear a story about this, right?
Yeah.
And they are my favorite moments when we send back and forth something that we've, hey, I listened to your podcast and I shared it with so-and-so, or it made me think about this, or those are just so exciting, because that's the whole point, is let's create something that creates conversation.
Yes, creates conversation, but also that I hope is just as formative for our audience as it is for us. Mm. Right. And I think just like neither of us are like formed by any one conversation, I hope that there are people out there that choose to listen and engage regularly and are being formed by some of the same thoughts that are forming us. That's why we continue to press record on these conversations.
Yeah, exactly. I am super grateful for the people. There are a bunch of people who listen to virtually every episode. And yeah, that's exactly how I feel, is I hope that this is forming you in some sense as it forms us, because we believe that the whole point of life is to choose how we want to be formed.
Yeah.
And then choose the tools that help us get there.
Yeah. And the conversation partners that help us get there. I feel like that is is so important. It has been for us.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Well, I want to officially turn to the audience and say, thank you for engaging with us for 100 episodes. We love doing this podcast. We have grown through it. We hope to continue growing through it. And we hope that in some small way you have grown as a result of listening. So thank you for being with us for 100 episodes, and we look forward to continuing it on.
Yeah, exactly. Can't wait to do our 1,000th episode. It's going to be great.
Oh my gosh, that'll be great. I think our voices will be a little more gravelly by that point.
I'll be talking like this. It's so good to be here on our 1,000th episode.
I would love to compare the audio of that to the actual 1,000th episode.
I doubt that any, that I don't think that's really what I'm going to sound like. I just don't think so.
But, nope, but it'll be a funny clip.
Yeah. But what else have you been thinking about? You know, we've been looking backwards a lot, but I'm curious to kind of drag us into the present for a little bit. What have you been thinking about this week?
Yeah. You know, I am thinking about being overdoing. I know it's one of the formative things that we talked about a minute ago, but it is so true. I have desired to be more than do. And one of the things that has kept me from doing that well is the fact that I work full-time and I go to school full-time and have a family. And that doesn't allow a lot of time to just be. And for that and a host of other reasons, we are choosing as a family for me to press pause on going to school. And it is a little bit of an open question as to whether or not I will continue to pursue a counseling degree in the future. But as of right now, we're going to press pause. And that is really exciting to me. And I think we've had a lot of conversations offline about this. And there's a thousand things I'd love to jump into and rebook my schedule. But that's really not where I want to be. I want to have more time to be instead of do. And I want to re-engage some areas of my life that have been lacking. And maybe even spend some time discovering what all those are. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm thinking a lot about being overdoing. And I have suddenly a lot more time to do that than I expected to have. And it's a little jarring. And I would like to settle in on what it means to grow in being. And I don't have all the answers to that, but that's what I'm thinking about.
That's awesome. My favorite thing about this, well, not my favorite thing, but one of the things I love is that what you want to be doing with your life is helping people in general, and particularly people in ministry, make healthy choices, really formative healthy choices. And what a great foundation to lay for that kind of ministry, to make a choice like that yourself. That's really cool.
Yeah, I hope so. Like I said about the podcast, I really need to spend a lot of time in that formation process so I actually have something to say or something to contribute. Mm.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, what about you? What are you thinking about?
You know, this week has been what my denomination calls our district council. It's sort of our annual gathering for all the people who are pastors and people in ministry and all those kinds of things. And it's part leadership conference and part electing officers to be leading the denomination or the district and all those kinds of things. But in the middle of it, our network or district superintendent paused our leadership conference just to emphasize what he thought was a really important point. And I wrote it down and I actually texted it to you yesterday, and I just can't get it out of my head. He said, "God may call you and your family to sacrifice for the ministry, but he will never call you to sacrifice your family for the ministry." Mm. And that idea that people in ministry are not called to sacrifice their families to be people in ministry is incredibly important. And I love being part of a movement in which that was the one thing the district superintendent thought was important enough that he was going to pause and say again, and then pray for an entire room full of ministers that they would fully grasp the importance of that thought. Mm-hmm. That's leadership I want to follow.
Yeah, absolutely. The work-life balance in ministry is hard to maintain in a healthy way. And you almost need permission from the top to maintain a healthy work-life balance. Mm-hmm. I don't think there was a better voice to be able to say that than him.
No, positionally. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think you need to give permission and he did in that moment. And it was great. It was a really powerful spiritual moment.
Yeah. Ah, so good.
Well, as always, we're going to end on a lighter note. Are you ready for this week's Witch Josh question?
I am so ready.
It's a great one, and I'm super excited about it.
Yeah, this week's Witch Josh question is, Witch Josh still owes an apology to Dr. Desi? And that is me. Have I ever told you this story? Are you familiar at all with what I'm talking about?
I don't even know who Dr. Desi is.
I don't either, actually. But if she ever stumbles onto this podcast, this is my apology to you, Dr. Desi. So I was working for a nonprofit portion of Intel that helped teachers learn how to integrate technology into their classrooms. And I was doing customer service for one of their programs. And so Dr. Desi is at some university somewhere teaching pre-service students. In other words, these are students that are getting an education degree and they're going to be teachers someday. And she was using our curriculum in her classroom. And so what we had to do at the end of every semester was call down this list and ask all of these professors who used our curriculum, how many students did you use this curriculum with so that we could keep an accurate tab? And I turned to my coworkers as I was about to call Dr. Desi and said, guys, I don't know how to pronounce this name. Her full name, I still don't know how to pronounce it. But the best we could come up with together as a team was Desideri Oscacholi. And so we all agreed that's how you pronounce it. And okay, here we go. I'm going to call her. And I get her voicemail, and her voicemail says, hi, you've reached Dr. Desi. And I'm like, oh, sweet, perfect. I can just say Dr. Desi on my voicemail. And so when it's my turn to speak after the beep, I say, hi, Dr. Desi, this is Josh. And I start talking. Well, my two coworkers with whom I just talked think that I have like bailed out on the pronunciation, and they start laughing that I like chickened out with Desideri Oscacholi and just shortened it to Dr. Desi. And so they're laughing in the background, and I start cracking up. I left the most hideous voicemail you have ever heard in your life. I was stumbling through my words. No. I was spluttering and laughing. And oh, it was so unprofessional and it was so embarrassing. But they totally just thought I chickened out. So Dr. Desi, I am so sorry.
Oh, man. It's rough when you can't redo, right?
Right. Yeah, I wanted, like, I think now we have these press 9 to listen to your message and whatever. Like, are you satisfied with this? Like, that didn't exist then.
Yeah, no. Oh, man. Well, Dr. Desi, if you are listening, we think you're awesome. We don't know who you are or what you do, but we think you're awesome. And we apologize for Josh from Oregon's incredibly embarrassing behavior.
Yes. All right. Well, we've done the walk of shame. Can we end the episode now?
All right. Absolutely.
All right. I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Bye.
Bye.